What's up, Fandom Night? Episode 8, Back to the Future Talk. Okay, before we even get started, let me just say this was the second discussion ever posted on Reploid Productions. We're talking like 7 years ago when we decided we were going to be kind of a nostalgic network talking about games that we loved and shows that we loved and all this different information that we'd picked up and just really just fandom. That was the whole point of Reploid Productions in general, was just to talk about this hobby that we all really enjoyed. So this was the Back to the Future discussion, and I figured, why lose it? It's so I'm going to just post it here.
Welcome to the Four Chairs. Tonight's topic, Back to the Future. The whole series, 1, 2, 3. We're going to discuss a couple things that, A, actors, impact it had, remembrance of when we seen it. It was 1986. Just
you
the
remember.
Overview of the movie in general, and then probably a couple things that you might not know about. So,
hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right, guys, I'll leave you alone.
First things first, Back to the Future. I mean, honestly, I've watched them a lot of times. I just recently rewatched the movies completely. What do you guys remember? What really sticks with you? Besides the DeLorean. Everybody knows the car was like the biggest part of the movie, but I mean, really, what stuck with you? Like, biggest characters or something?
Well, of course, Marty, but, I mean, of course, he's the main character. But Doc Brown, craziest guy I've ever seen, really. I mean, who comes up with the type of shit that he does?
He was supposed to be like an A-bomb scientist or something like that, that somehow got kicked off the project for being too outlandish.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad when the United States military is like, all right, well, dude, no. You're too out there. We're going to have to let you go. It's like, I'm creating a bomb to blow up every single last soul in about a 20-mile radius. And I'm outlandish. Okay, no problem. All right. See you guys. I'm going to go invent a time machine.
Wait, to be fair here, I guess, on the government's part, if we're going to get into that, the man created a machine to read thoughts that didn't read thoughts. His only friend is a dog.
Hey, that dog is smart.
I want to know...
And a random high school kid.
What experiment was he doing when he got on top of his toilet and hung a clock and somehow slipped and fell and hit his head?
He was probably trying to develop the time-traveling toilet. That way he can literally take his shit.
He didn't have time travel. He said he didn't even think about time travel until the day he fell.
So I was actually going to say, maybe he's wanting to, you know, have like a portal to go back in time, take his shit in his toilet, and drop on that general's head. It's like, take that, buddy!
Serious, it was just a seeing
maybe he just wanted to put a clock over his
to
toilet.
Yeah, see how much time he wastes taking crap in his house, you know? Who knows?
Hey, busy man, got a lot of inventions to do, man. You can't take 20 minutes to take a shit or something like that. Man, just walk in there, gotta take a quick piss. Alright, I wasted 30 seconds!
And we're good every day. Let's do it that way.
Yeah. I was like, wasted 30 seconds up, behind schedule by 20 seconds. Gotta go.
I don't know. Personally, one of the things that really that I really like about the whole show in general is how he goes back and he's just trying to figure things out, and he immediately runs into this culture shock where everything's turned around, and before he even figures out what's going on, he's already doomed his existence.
Because he met his parents.
Yeah, his parents.
That actually has to be brought up. In 1986, that's what we're talking here, 1986 is when the release date was for the first movie. The makeup is phenomenal. It's outrageous. Mm-hmm. The same three actors that play Biff, the mom, and the dad,
yeah,
they also play it in all three parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they're younger kids, it's the same actors.
Right.
The older people, it's the same actors. Like, and that's unreal. When I was younger, I swore. I thought for sure that it was just people that looked kind of alike because the makeup was near flawless. And usually you can see where the problems come in on makeup, especially older movies. If you're talking 80s and whatnot, like there was a real stupid movie I seen back in the 80s where like this black guy was supposed to turn white, and it was remarkably bad. It was called The Watermelon Man. Don't watch it. It's bad. But let's get back to this. I don't know about that crappy movie, okay?
I'm wasting time.
It's wasting time.
The film has been wasted, lit on fire, and then, you know, danced around. It's done. Life's good now. No more bad movie.
There's very little flaws in the movie is the thing that always caught my attention. I've always been really big in the storyline. And I always found it really interesting that it was so well written. From start to finish, there are so many clues and tags and just little things in the movies that you'd imagine should have been overlooked or not
brought up. Well, for me, like, one of the biggest things is how, like, every single time they time travel, it's in the same city, like, the same town, and it's just, like, every single little thing that happens in the town is different, and, like, you have to pay attention to everything that happens.
Well, the biggest thing with that, sorry for cutting me off.
Oh, it's okay.
But, the biggest thing with that is time travel doesn't mean you're going to jump from, you know, we'll say for like instance, if somehow we had time traveling car, which in my opinion would be pretty badass, you know, we decide, all right, it's, 2010, let's jump back in time 20 years just to go, you know, take a look at ourselves or something like that. We're not going to immediately go from, you know, Peoria to Washington, D.C. by some accident, we're actually going to go right back in time.
No, I wasn't saying that. It was this whole kind of, like, seeing, like, the past of one town, and, like, the past of the town, and then seeing how it is.
Yeah, and actually,
all the 50s were filmed first, mm-hmm. actually. They built a giant production stage on the lot, and originally, they didn't tear the lot down for many, many years. It's actually in a bunch of other movies, like the Clock Tower and whatnot, is a stage building. And I think it was in a couple like Bill Murray movies and things like that in the backgrounds and everything, so you could still see that they had a hard time parting with what they created. Mm-hmm. But they built the 50s set, filmed all the 50s scenes, and then actually brought in like hoses and whatnot, and literally tore it up. Like a 20-year shock. They sprayed garbage and filter and just nasty paint and stuff like that and purposely tore the set apart to create a 20-year decay. Mm-hmm. That was just, like, there's just little things in there like that mm-hmm. that they paid so close attention to detail. When he goes back, an old man Peabody, and he mm-hmm. runs over the tree, like, that was a big effect. I mean, it doesn't seem like it, but that was a big, big, big deal. It changed the actual name of the mall. Mm-hmm. Like, at the start of the mall, it's Twin Pines Mall, until he comes back, and it's Lone Pines Mall.
Because he hit the first tree.
Yeah, he hit the tree, and it seems so minuscule, but...
Mm-hmm. But then, all of a sudden, you know, they can't call it
farmer, it's even minuscule. It's he destroyed one of my pine trees.
Oh, well.
It didn't have anything to do with the future, because the future didn't exist yet.
Exactly.
I always wanted to know how the doctor burned his house down.
Yeah, that's definitely like, something.
He didn't have a small property either. Like, what was it? How big was his property?
430 acres.
That's ridiculous. 430 acres? That's ridiculous.
He burns down his house, which is this palatial, multi-million-dollar mansion, and he banishes himself to his
garage.
His two-stall garage and sells the rest of it to
I know what it was, the then. Talk that he yeah. put in his bathroom.
No.
It was actually a bomb, okay?
If I had to guess, I'll tell you what burned his house down. In the very first time you see the doctor when he does the epic door open.
Oh, yeah, there's smoke popping out
yes,
of there.
He's got that machine.
Yeah.
And it's, like, smoking really bad. Like, it's ready to catch on fire. Just the
well,
stuff
I noticed there's a bunch of smoke. I was just watching the movie earlier. There's a bunch of smoke as he's doing the whole mind control machine, there's smoke off in the background.
That's something to talk about.
What the hell is up with most of his inventions bursting into flames anyways? I mean, hell, look at it. It's like you got the mind control thing, burst into flames.
Well, we didn't actually
bunch of,
see it.
Oh, the thing was smoking.
Okay, the mind control machine. Even if it did work, would you ever wear it? That thing's like fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's just like, behold, giant mind-controlling hat thing. Here, just wear this. It's good for you.
In Soviet Russia, this is how we roll.
Yeah. In Soviet Russia, helmet wear you.
Anyways, guys, we're gonna get out of here. This is gonna be a 6-part movie. Please check out part 2. Just stick with us, okay? 6 parts. Welcome back. This is part 2 of 6, Back to the Future review. And we're gonna start it off here. Just something that I remember reading about this. This is nuts. I gotta bring it up. First things first. You guys like the car.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that car.
The original concept was not to be a car. It was supposed to be an A-bomb theorist or something like that. He had wild, crazy, ridiculous ideas, and he somehow pissed away his entire family fortune. And you talked about how ridiculous his family fortune had to be, especially in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah. 400-plus acres, yeah.
So, here's this. The original concept called for him to build the time machine out of his refrigerator.
Yeah.
The Libyan terrorist scene was supposed to be that they would come in,
bust into his two-story garage.
Bust into the garage. I'm almost positive this is what it was supposed to be. They were going to gun down the doctor
and steal his fridge.
No, they didn't steal the fridge. Marty, I guess in terms of running away, was supposed to, for some reason, either be pushed in or jump into the fridge, like while they're shooting at him or something.
Brain is bulletproof.
And go back in time. But there's so many concepts with that. Like, I have no idea how they could have possibly ended the movie.
And like with the petroleum. I mean, did the plutonium? Did they still need that for the refrigerator? Or what?
Well, I imagine so.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell do you put it in the
food? Who needs freon? We got plutonium. It keeps everything cold. Or hot.
You know, there's some way of doing it. You couldn't just plug it into a 110 outlet and
expect it. Second, guys. Hold on. We got to charge the battery.
Well, I mean,
alright, we're good.
It kind of makes more sense than what this diffusion thing, though.
Well, I mean,
it might work a little bit.
Well, the biggest thing is what Black Wolf said is like, literally, it's like, you can't just plug it into an outlet, especially if you're like, alright, well, today, guys, we're going to go ahead and go back to the 1800s. We're going to go check out some Wild West stuff. All right, let's do this. Open. All right, and all right, hey, we're here, and oh, shit.
There's no way.
We can't get back, guys. Sorry.
There's no place I can plug this in.
Hey, Marty, did you remember to bring the jumper?
There's no way you could have taken that movie seriously.
No, here we go.
Absolutely no way.
No,
I want to see the original script. Like, how far did they get before they realized
this is a bad idea?
And even though there was one guy, they had the whole DeLorean idea. It's like, no, dude, we can sit in the refrigerator, just put wheels on it or something. You know, make it go 80 miles an hour.
Flop it down.
I bet they got
soapbox.
I bet they had this whole movie written out. And then when they got to the point, all right, we need to take you back to the future. Oh, wait.
We don't have to plug it in.
It's like,
They
just plug into a potato!
They somehow had to strike the refrigerator with lightning. They had to hold the fridge up to the top of the clock tower. And it just makes no sense.
No, actually, they wouldn't have to, because the refrigerator wouldn't have to go 88 miles per hour, so they just set it out in the middle somewhere. Just set it out in front of the clock tower, just run a straight cable down into it.
That's something.
Boom!
That's something
done!
The clock tower. I want to talk about the clock tower, actually. Why is it still broken?
They're too cheap to fix it.
No, that's what I'm getting at. Okay. They go back in time, right? Now, originally, lightning struck the clock tower, fries all the gears, the thing don't work.
It's still got fried. It's just
it shouldn't though.
No, because they had
an electrical wire all the way down, across the
So it should have actually saved the clock tower.
It should have saved
the clock
tower.
Unless
because the flux
it got hit again.
But the flux capacitor needs 1.21 gigawatts. You know, if it needs that much, then the whole lightning would have had to be channeled down the wire, mm-hmm. across that area, into the capacitor, time travel. But that means that the clock tower
was completely
shouldn't
unaffected.
Have been fried. It traveled down the wire. It didn't strike and fry all the gears and shit inside. So when he came home, the clock tower should have still been working. And he never,
really?
Not even in the future.
Well,
even in like 2015, when they go in the future, in the second, they're talking
still
about...
Still not working.
That clock tower doesn't work. I'm like, that's horse shit. Should work.
But why would they keep it? That's my question. I mean, sure,
it's a historical monument. You can't tear those things down. They're protected by government funding and stuff.
No, it's the crazy lady. That was
oh, yeah, the crazy lady with cats.
She
saved
it, yeah.
Nah, he's talking about that stupid,
stupid
can't-get-laid woman that's like,
save the clock tower.
Yeah, he's like just about to get something, and she's like,
oh, my God.
I'm just so pissed, dude. About to like make out with my chick all of a sudden. Yeah, save the clock tower.
It's like, I would look over that lady like, ma'am, take the thing. Like, you are supporting a very good cause, but right now, I'm supporting an even better cause. Me getting laid. I will help you later.
You know when the terrorists, they come and they get the doctor, right?
Dead.
Well, regardless, here's something I was thinking about. You have a time travel car, okay?
Why didn't you just go back 20 minutes before?
No, that's not what I was thinking about. I was thinking about a completely different concept. Say that shit never happens, right? They just had a successful experiment, car's still around, he parks it on the side of the road, some shit, right? I'm a carjacker.
You already know where this one's going.
I come and take that man's car.
The hell's all this shit?
Now there's a whole bunch of crap in this guy's car. As a carjacker, I would have originally ripped his stereo out, but this car's got to be worth a motherfucking fortune, okay? So I'm driving down the road. First off, it ain't my car, so I'm on the freeway. I'm doing, let's say I get to 75, right? Or whatever. I'm driving, and I'm like, you know, go fast. So you get to going, and I've hit 88, probably 90 miles an hour before when I was driving down to Florida, so it's not unreasonable. What happens when I pull the lever back, because it's too easy to turn the time circuits on?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you shift the gears, boom.
You unshift the gear, pull the
like at
pull
the beginning,
the time
Bud didn't even try to when he was like running away from the dudes at the very beginning.
All he did was go, shift, done.
What if it's on a void date? Like some sort of preset date, like something that always comes up, pull it back, year zero, right? Now I'm driving, all of a sudden, light and fire, and I don't know where I am anymore. It's like,
bam, hit a tree!
Yeah, I'm going to hit a tree. No, don't even do that. We don't hit a tree. Somehow we're in grassy lands, okay? I get to stop the car, wait 10 minutes, now my plutonium is out. And the car doesn't run without plutonium.
And they don't know that anyway.
And you as the carjacker's like, shit, this ain't got enough gas in it.
And if it is, and
you
if
get
it is,
out, it's like, where's the gas station? You pop open the gas tank, it's like, wait, this doesn't even smell like gas. What the hell? And you gotta reach your hand in there or something like that because you're an idiot.
Speaking,
and all of a sudden, you know, your hand's glowing.
There has to be gas. Because in one part during the third movie, he does rupture the line. And there's gas, okay?
That's what actually drives the car, but
what
powers the...
But when the plutonium runs out in the first movie, the car just dies.
I think that's supposed to be like a battery or something. Like there's no power to actually ignite
the
car.
Yeah.
Well, that's another question, too. Uh-huh. Like, what battery does he have in that car?
It's probably just the plutonium.
You see all the crap he has in that car. There still has to be a battery to run. I mean, he has a ridiculous amount of crap in the car.
Oh, how I'm surprised I didn't see like a little Mr. Coffee in the dash or something
like
that.
That's the reason why he gets to 1950. Okay, stop the car, start it again.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
And
then
run down with all the fancy LEDs and stuff inside his car.
But, I mean, another thing that kind of boggles my mind is like, you start the car, you're running on gas. Do you waste your fuel when you go back in time? out of your actual gas tank. I mean, you actually hit 88, you got half a tank left, you boom, 1955.
It's instantaneous.
Yes, but
not,
you're still traveling.
Well, you're using the plutonium, but you're not using the gas, though. I mean, you're using the gas to hit 88 miles per hour, but then right when you travel,
you're still
you're not
at constant speed for...
Yeah,
then sure, you're
I can answer that right now. Yeah. Anyways, guys, we're running low on time. Remember to check out part 3. Come back. Welcome back to the Four Chairs. This is part 3 of 6, and we're going to get back into Back in the Future now. All right. I have one. No, I guess I have many questions.
Oh,
but
numerous.
One thing I actually, is not even a question. It's actually something about the case in general. It's not a big deal, but I always thought it was cool that the people act as the Roman numerals, like coming out of the car. I don't know why. I just always thought that was really neat. Just, it's simple, it's standard, I don't know.
And then you don't have to worry about giant, blocky, you know, 3 in Roman numerals. Like, wow, that just looks like ass. I mean, seriously.
I don't know. I always liked the art in general, just the way it looked. I always thought it was really neat. Mm-hmm. It made a cool movie poster and whatnot, which I don't.
Yeah, I kind of wish I had those right now, too. I'd have them hanging up at home.
It would be neat just to have them. I think my favorite actually is probably the first one mm-hmm. of all.
Third one's kind of ridiculous with the cowboy hats. Just looks goofy. But they were back in the 1800s,
yeah,
so. That's
what the movie is about. So.
Yeah, I'll give it that.
Yeah.
Getting back on time travel in general, when you go back and you change, like, one thing, and it can be catastrophic. I mean, like a huge, huge, ridiculous change.
Like, say, you know, you go back in time and somehow we're just going to do this, save Kennedy from getting shot.
Right. It can be
what would happen to the United States?
Like just being there, can they alter the timeline? And that's why I honestly think that time travel shouldn't be done, like in my opinion.
Well, as a technicality, time travel is completely impossible.
I mean, if it was possible, we're talking about...
Time travel, it flows forward, you cannot go back.
I don't know
if I completely agree
with that.
I mean, I really wish I could go back in time.
Well, you see,
I know I jumped back in time a week with the winning lotto numbers for the Mega Millions.
Well, I've always had a particular theory that if it were possible to go backwards in time, forwards in time is another matter entirely. If it was possible to go backwards in time, like you said, get the Mega Millions numbers.
Why not?
Those Mega Millions numbers might not even draw the same. Like, very you're true. Talking about reversing all the flow of energy that the universe has gone through, but you stay the same. You get dropped in there, ripple effect. Everything changes.
Oh, yeah.
The flow of energies and everything, just you get basically get dropped in the pool and you've immediately changed everything and there's no possible way to turn it back. That's the way I've always seen it.
Yeah, and going to the future, but that
unless you go forward back, or unless you wait the time and as you're about to go back, you smack yourself and be like, don't do that. And then, you know, if you don't do it, you disappear because
you
never went back.
Yeah, but then what if the concept is like Time Cop and the same matter can't occupy same space? And in your slap a face move, you
blow up time.
Cease to exist.
Then I, before I cease
you
to exist,
messed up.
But going back to the whole future thing, like, and if you go to the future, let's say you go to your future like 20 years in the future, and you have like an amazing life. Just you be knowing about your future,
you're gonna change it.
Yeah, can change it. Because if you go back to the present, then you already know what's gonna happen in your future. And you're gonna act a different way, and then everyone around you. Is gonna, like, you're gonna alter their futures as well, so.
See,
you're gonna start
that that's something I can agree with, because, in my true honest opinion, if you know what's gonna happen, I mean, I'm, like, if you were psychic or if you could actually go into the future like that, you wouldn't want to live life, because you know exactly what's gonna happen to you, when it's gonna happen, and
well,
if you actually believe in the predestined fate or destiny, then. You have no hope left, because you know what's going
to
happen.
Well, I
kind of
disagree with that, though, because, I mean, if I went to the future and I saw, like, let's say I was a video game programmer, which I'm trying to be, I'd be like, okay, sweet, so I know I'm going to become a game programmer.
What if it's just, like, looking
at
the
and I'm going to slack on it. I'm not going to be, like, trying as hard as I would be. And I would still want to be a game programmer. I don't have, like, I lost. It's not like I lost hope or anything.
You just lost
hope. Or I don't have any hope. Like, I just don't. like, I want to try as hard, but it's not like I don't have any reason to live. I still want to be a programmer, but I'm like, I'm already going to be one, so I don't care.
Well, yeah, but as I said, that's if, you know, there was no way to change the course of the future for some reason.
But there always is. There's always a way to change
the course. As a matter of fact, it's like you can go to the future, jump back, go back to the future. It's going to be completely different just because time is ever changing.
Yeah,
because
if you go to the future, it's pretty much the course of events that are leading now. It's pretty much what the future would be if everything goes according to plan and that thing. But if you know anything that's going to happen in the future, it's going to change.
Well, actually, if you take yourself out of the present and don't plan on returning, you're just going to be there. And so there won't be a future you because you're occupying that space. And you didn't occupy from 2010 to 2030.
Well, that's what talking about Back to the Future, because Back to the Future, you're just go back to the time you left. So it won't really change you not being there or anything.
Well, yeah,
you're
true.
Still going to be there.
That's if you decide to go back, though, because, you know, they might have ridiculous technology. You're like, I'm going to wait 20 years for this? Like, hell, I am sitting down in my awesome lazy boy that floats down the road.
At some point, you're going to go back, and then when you go back, you're still there.
That, again, that's only if you decide to actually go back.
Cool. Yeah. So. One thing I just thought was interesting, with all of the extra information that, for example, Doc Brown got, like, throughout all the different movies, he's learned more and more about how his life is going to turn out. How did he keep himself on the exact same track to making everything add up?
I want
to
know where the other Marty is.
Mm-hmm, the one that went back in time just as he showed up? Because he couldn't possibly been on the same...
He comes back early enough
to see himself leave.
I never thought about that. And shortly after that guy left, 5 minutes before that guy left, that guy would have had to have come back. Are you seeing what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So is that the same guy? Is that Marty that runs down Lone Pine Mall to see that guy go back? Are they the same people? Or are there two of them, one that never came back and one that did come back?
Well, I mean, that's the guy who, like, the one who was leaving was the one who did everything the lead up to.
The one that went through time, that he saw go through time, he went on to another universe where... Maybe everything pans out differently or pans out the same.
Like what happened in the second
Just like when he went back in time, he went back to the previous timeline and then made his way back forward.
Mm-hmm.
So the other one did the same thing, only when he went back to the timeline, he's on a different plane. That sort of thing. That's the only way to terminate it, otherwise
another thing about time travel, too. You're pretty much making alternate universes and alternate dimensions every time you time travel.
You'd actually mentioned that you were interested that he kept affecting his hometown, like things in his hometown kept changing, but really, he changed things on a national scale. I mean a ridiculous national scale. He might have accidentally, single-handedly helped push a revolution in music that gave us rock and roll
in the modern empire.
In the movie, he plays Johnny B. Goode.
Mm-hmm.
And the man on stage that slices his hand is a man named Marvin Berry, who happens to make a phone call to his cousin, Chuck. Chuck has the same last name, so I'm assuming. I believe they're referencing Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry did Johnny B. Goode. He was the first guy to do Johnny B. Goode.
And that was what got
He also
started.
Did Roll Over Beethoven, No Particular Place to Go, Schoolhouse.
Well, 1 second, when did Johnny B. Goode... When was
1958. That was the very first live. It was like a live concert, if I remember right.
That was about three years later.
He was being famous enough to play like live recorded shows, and that was around the time that he had done it. And it sounds
because I was thinking about like when at the very end he started going insane, like looked like he had a seizure on the floor with the guitar, and then he was like, "Oh crap!"
He's going on through the different generations of rock and roll. He starts the 50s, then he goes to the 60s, 70s, Angus Young, and everybody's just like, "Whoa, what is all this?" And he's like, "It's like, oh, your kids are gonna love this."
Well, yep. So that's how I was thinking that.
Just like so. Remember to stay tuned for part four. Part four of six. Welcome to part four of six of the four chairs. And we're going to hop right back into the music discussion we were just taking on. The actual Johnny B. Goode that was played in Back to the Future, I believe, I don't think I'm wrong. I actually think this is true. They took Michael J. Fox to a recording studio.
And had him record it.
And yeah, he's actually the one that's doing that. Like in that, yeah, that's actually like his version of Johnny B. Goode, which is kind of interesting that they went that extra leap. And it helps him too because he doesn't have to look like a joke. Like, I don't
know.
And
he can get into character more too.
Yeah, it probably helps for that.
Because I mean, in the '80s, he's, you know, that rock guy who loves rock and all that other stuff. And you know, if he's got to play it in the movie, anyways, he'd learn how to play guitar.
I think he actually did learn how to play guitar. I think
he had to be able to sing the song. So he had to know the words to actually get the vocals for it, and it probably helped him get into character a lot more.
I'd say it probably.
Which
did.
Is probably why, yeah. I mean. I honestly really like the Marty McFly character.
Well, that's another because thing, too, because they wanted everything to be perfect in this movie, mm-hmm. so they wanted his like singing to be perfect, too. Because if you think about it, like we were talking about...
Oh, he
about,
probably had lessons.
The makeup and everything like perfect in the film, so they also wanted the singing to be perfect, too. I mean, why not?
I mean, they put a lot of time into these films.
Well, since we are on the music right now, I'd like to say it's kind of like a plug more than anything, but... I just want to drop his name. The guy who does the actual theme song for Back to the Future, I believe his name is like Alan Silvestri. Is that it?
Something, I think so.
But just, it's not a big deal, but I'd just like to throw his name out there because a lot of those type of performers in general in music, they're not rock gods or nothing like that. They don't make a legends list. But this guy, really, he created a piece of music that is like a part of our pop culture. There's not a person out there that doesn't know the Back to the Future theme. I mean, he really should have some sort of credit. So I just wanted to plug his name and put him out there and just, I don't know, they never get any kind of credit, I wanted to do that.
Well, I mean, take it like right now. I mean, there's plenty of huge orchestras that still play the Back to the Future theme.
Yeah.
I mean, they have it completely composed for a whole... You know, 300 plus people orchestra, and it still sounds amazing.
Well, it was a good piece of music. Exactly. It really was. I mean, it stuck with the film. Classical was really the way to go. Orchestra, classical, however you want to phrase it. Because had they just put some song there, like that, like, I can't remember the guy's name who does the song at the start of the movie. What
the
is
Power
that?
Of Love?
That's it. Yeah. Power of Love. Oh. I can't remember who does that. But
no idea.
That's what I mean. Like, had they done just a normal rock or theme or some song like
that, it would have sucked.
I don't think it would have lasted the way it did. Because this
but that's
is
the original
like
song.
Yeah, I mean even throughout the whole movie, I mean, just like, anytime something's picking up real fast, bam, you hear the Back to the Future thing.
Well, it carried through all three movies, too.
With if you're just a normal artist, like, this is just, like, in general, but I'd hate to have, like, one of my songs be the beginning of a movie, because every time someone hears that song...
Like, oh, man, that movie sucks. Yeah. Or, wow, man, that movie was awesome. And then you get no credit because, well, your thunder got stolen by a movie.
Well, it's kind of true, but then again, and I know your name is forgotten, yes, but at the same time, if there would have been just a blank spot of nothing in that movie like sometimes
sucked.
Your music is really one of the things that drives the scene. Mm-hmm. Silent scene doesn't work as well as something with that back music.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a different topic, but it's still on music. What is with Doc? Why does Doc Brown have that amp?
Ridiculous amp!
I have a conclusion. I have a reason for it, but I want to hear your guys' first.
I think he was using it, like, I don't know, using it to test the effect of sound waves, I don't know, for, like, temporal slips or something. Like, giant amp, just blast it and make something travel through time. That's
like, guys, wait, we got this? Flip train switch, boom! Well, it didn't go through time, guys, but we did manage to launch the DeLorean into the clock tower, through the clock tower, and into City Hall.
I couldn't.
My bad.
I definitely couldn't tell you why he has the amplifier, but I can ask a question on top of your question.
I know why, though. You want me to tell you why?
Sure.
Marty. He's really good friends with Marty. Right away, he was like,
so, but really?
Ridiculous answer!
He's our guy! He loves music. You know Marty was probably like, yeah, I want to
be the other way around.
I want you to make a badass amp. And he's like, okay. And he makes it, because he, like, right away, he's like, oh, yeah, don't forget. Like, just to remind you, don't plug into the amplifier, knowing he's already going to do it. So he made it for Marty.
Well, it's
possible he's just some punk kid. He hears that he meets this dot guy. Hey, you got this awesome amplifier.
Yeah,
mind if I hook it up?
But we don't know how long him and Marty.
And then he gets caught up in all his wacky experiments.
It could be that he made it for Marty.
It's possible.
You don't know that. Like, that's what I think.
It is a possibility.
Because he said it was an overload. It doesn't always, like, he hit it, he goes like that, and goes like...
No, he said, yeah, it was an overload, but that's part of my question. The doc says that, he doesn't exactly say this word for word, but the doc was running an experiment. I don't know what experiment he was running, but I want to understand.
He's probably trying to launch the DeLorean.
No, this is ridiculous. He ran an experiment that not only set all of his clocks 25 minutes slow. He didn't set them slow. His experiment made them 25 minutes slow.
So for 25 minutes, time stopped for those clocks.
And the amplifier had a ridiculous overload that blew half his house away. Like, what was he doing?
But it seems like he had a big
wait,
for that matter, Marty has a watch. And all of a sudden, he's like, they're all exactly 25 minutes slow. And he's like, oh man, crap, I'm late for school. The watch beeps like every hour, doesn't it?
But my question is,
at 8 o'clock, how did he not know?
Okay, but if you were Marty, would you ever trust anything in Doc's house? I mean, Doc's already crazy. Why would you trust his clock?
Because crazy A-bomb scientist with time-traveling car, ridiculous amp.
He didn't know anything about time-traveling. He just had, like, crazy experience.
He just saw a kooky, crazy guy lets me plug into his amp. I'm going to trust him.
Experiments.
His amp never worked. So.
But you always trust those people, though.
He made a big deal about that nothing he ever made ever worked. But, like, at the very start, he has coffee that automatically turns on, TV switchy thing.
Automatic dog feeder.
What happened to those?
That's an actual concept that I still don't see even today. If they have it in the movie, is it not a practical thing? Like, they still can't make an automatic dog feeder?
I'm gonna make one, guys. Because I want
to make it, but
it's
just a bigger Rector set.
There's that machine now that'll play fetch with your dog so your lazy ass can go watch TV and they still can't feed your dog without your assistance?
Well, you still gotta teach your dog how to use the thing.
Not really. Don't figure it out if it really wants to.
Automatic timer.
Or it's just gonna bring the food freaking out. Thing
yeah,
to
automatic it. Timer. Like, right when his alarm clock went off, his TV went on, it was all set to happen at the same time.
It was all set. He models himself after Albert Einstein. Now, he's obviously not as brilliant as Albert Einstein. He did have one great thing that going for him, but he's like, well, Albert Einstein had a process. He would only wear certain suits so he doesn't have to waste time picking out outfits. He would only have a specific way of doing things. He had all this worthless stuff put together. Start the TV, pop the toast.
Toast? Yeah, speaking about the toast, I should probably fix that. Walk away.
Yeah, none of it worked, but he just still decided it was necessary to keep his life on track, even though, you know, he really wasn't accomplishing
the whole thing. This is probably why he has such a fetish with clocks, because
everything is
all about time, I think. Like, if you think about it, like his dog feeder and all that stuff, it's all about time. And then, like, the main thing he was worried about when he was doing the time travel thing, if his dog is the time. Like, everything, all his experiments revolve around the time. Well, besides the...
Well, I think the big reason for that is probably because he had the, you know, Albert Einstein.
Well, I'm going to say, just to make it clear, time isn't exactly always on our side. Please see part 5. We got to go. The 4 chairs. We're on part 5 of 6. Back to the Future review. One, just we'll do part two on the next episode. Let's jump right back into it, guys. One of the things in general that I actually find interesting is that the car, they didn't know what it was supposed to do. What they originally had done was they drove this car around at night in the parking lot, kind of filmed Marty and a response, and then sent it to Industrial Light and Magic with basically, from what I heard, they sent it with
post-it
one
note
phrase.
On the video.
Yeah, it's not really a post-it note, but it's about that ridiculousness.
Make this time
That's
travel.
That's exactly what it was.
Make this look badass in travel time. Okay.
They sent it to Industrial Light and Magic. They watched the scene, and there's like a tag note on the scene says, car time travels. What were they supposed to do with that?
Just sit there, it's like, okay, wait a minute. I've got this. All right, guys, what we're going to do is we're going to have, like, this big thing open up right in front of the car. Gone. Done. And then you know someone else, like, are you stupid? I mean, I do agree. The car just goes, poof. Yeah.
It's like,
88 miles an hour, poof.
One thing they couldn't do, but it would have been real awesome had they been able to do it, is if when the car goes forward, right, and it gets to 88 miles an hour, if you would have seen time shift around the car.
I mean, nowadays you could do that.
Nowadays you could, but...
And then burst into flames and lightning.
Yeah. Now, that was so sweet. But what they did is badass. It is neat, the fire trails and everything else, but that would have been such a badass effect, like a remake of the movie, and that's something...
But even if you do that, though, we shouldn't do that, though, because, I mean, if you think about it, the Flex Capacitor, what it does, like, right when you warp, it takes you right there instantaneously, so if time's warping around you...
It would still happen instantaneously.
Yeah.
I mean, it just would have been
for the person in the vehicle, for the person in the vehicle, it might feel like a few seconds will pass.
Well, no, not for Marty. Yeah, Marty is driving like right away.
They see today, tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, actually, today,
yesterday.
20 years from, you know, when I was just here, why does everything polka dot and...
He was just going, he shift, he was trying to run away from the guys. Next thing you know, he's not even
I'm going to skip past this film drop off, and then all of a sudden turns into a scarecrow.
And
literally like, holy shit, I didn't even have time to put the brakes on.
If you really think about
it,
if he had a little bit of time, he might have like automatically thought, hey, this is a time traveling machine, I just time traveled. But since it was so instantaneous,
he had no idea what was going on. That he wouldn't have seen it as instantaneous. It would have been a badass effect.
I guess so, but it would kind of confuse the people watching it, though, because they want to think it's instantaneous. They would be thinking that he's seeing all that stuff happen.
I guess.
You know?
I guess I'll go for
This is sort of, as just sort of an earmark to this whole thing, I was thinking that if they were to make a remake of it on a special effects
They had to use the new DeLoreans that have been coming out.
The exact same model as what was in the movie?
No, actually, Reploid and me were talking yesterday, DeLorean is actually back in business.
Yeah, actually they are. They
are making a new DeLorean.
But if they did a remake, though, it would be back in 85 or whenever they filmed it, so they'll have to use that.
No, because they can have it set up for 2000.
When they made Halloween, they didn't go back into the 70s or whatever.
No, it was modern day.
Well, but so if they make a remake, they're just going to change the story then? Is that, like...
No, it's still the same story. The Karate Kid is going to take place in today, but
it's still the same story.
They just modernized the original story. They would take Back in the Future, bring a kid from our area. He would probably be an emo, crying, cut yourself kid or something like that.
Great God, no!
And he would have like, I don't even know what the doctor's problem would be in today's society, but he would be messed up. I'm positive of it.
Probably schizophrenic, to be honest.
But one thing that I
he's probably
don't
the kind of guy
sure
who's
ever make a remake.
He's doing experiments to like, I don't know, juices. Brain with electricity or something, and he comes up with the idea to send himself through time.
Yeah, see, we might have good ideas about it, but if you think about it, if they make a remake of the movie or just ruin the regular Back to the Future, most likely.
you could say that. I mean, that,
a lot of
remakes that, but...
like destroy movies from the past, and this is such a good series.
But some remakes have actually done good for me.
Some of them, but I wouldn't want to take that
really,
chance.
Really, it would be
I
a hit and a miss.
I wouldn't want to watch it.
I would watch it just for the experience.
Well, that's like when the people, when they came back and they touched up the Star Wars movies, and all of a sudden everybody was like, George Lucas raped my childhood. Get over it. Like, it'd be a
it touched up and made it look better.
If you like something else, yeah. Don't get me wrong. Nothing would replace this movie for me.
Yeah.
Nothing would replace it. But it would be neat to see it modernized. I'd like to see the time travel.
I mean, I guess after I watched the third one, I always wanted to make another one. So I guess I might go watch it just for the Back to the Future experience, if it feels the same.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. If you're not going to remake it, give me a Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
I would
like to see
a Blu-ray cut of
highly defined time traveling DeLorean, damn it.
It's true. It would be neat. I mean, I realize the master film's probably not in the greatest condition. I hope they took care of it.
Mm.
If they took care of the film,
just watching the movie, you can see there's still a bit on the screen here. There's still a little bit of a you can still see the little artifacts in the videos and stuff, especially when they're showing ghost text like in the intro. It stutters and it sits and it's
I'm sure that if they went through, like when the Star Trek project did, when they remastered the original series, I mean, frame for frame, millisecond for millisecond, it takes some time.
And
I realize it's probably
a lot
of
money,
pain,
too.
But these three movies, if there's a franchise that deserves a full remastered 1080p high-class box set, 5.1 surround sound, I want to see Back to the Future. And you know what? With the dual layer 80 gig disc, I'm pretty sure I could get one badass full length presentation. One, two, three, no continues. Take that shit out. Show me a full movie.
Mm-hmm.
Marathon cut.
And since the 2013 thing's coming up, they might actually do that.
Well,
2015.
It's been rumored. Okay? I don't know if this is actually going to hold up or whatnot, but supposedly, at the mall that the original DeLorean test was filmed, in 2015, there's supposed to be a Back to the Future reunion to celebrate the movie and the fans that have kept this series alive for so long. Mm-hmm. And that would be
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I would totally go
make a shot to California.
I know I can't speak for all of you. I know, Reploid, you'd probably be right there with me. But by God, every last one of you out there, I will be there if it happens. And I will film that shit.
I'll tell you.
Reploid will probably be right next to me. But I'll be right there with everyone else.
Hey, dude, I won't make fun of
you. I'll still be there in 2015. Why not?
How about we all
be there?
2015. Keep an eye out for it if we're still around, because supposedly we're all going to die in 2012,
please don't even.
It's gonna happen.
But anyways, 2015.
We're not talk about the end of the world. We're not gonna talk about that crappy movie. Neither one exists.
2015. I am making it my point. I will be there. I will film it. And if YouTube's still around, and we don't have something a hell of a lot better.
We will
post it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Post it.
If there is a Back to the Future reunion, we shall film and post it.
And if there isn't,
we'll make one.
Yeah.
Four to six douchebags sitting around the mall. It's like, all right, Back to the Future reunion!
Man.
We're the only ones here! Yeah!
Bring out the fridge!
Oh, man.
Everything's going good, guys. All right, we're going to close this up. This is the end of part 5 of 6. Come join us on part 6. We're going to tell you our final thoughts on the movie and the franchise, and possibly what we would have done in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to the Four Chairs. This is part 6 of 6. We're going to close it out. We're going to talk about some final thoughts. Just basic finalizations of the movie.
Basically, my final thought came to... if they were to make a remake, I don't think it would be nearly as good as the original. One of the things I really like the movie is the time it puts. There's so much of a difference in the 50s to the 80s that I don't think you could see in a new make.
Well, in today, it's 2010, going 20 years back, you're talking like
1990.
Yeah. Okay, don't get me wrong. You know, growing up in the 90s, we all basically remember it, but at the same time, I don't feel like it's such an extravagant jump. Yes, things have changed.
Oh my God, Alice in Chains!
Actually, as a technicality, they did go 30 years into the past.
Did they?
Yes.
Yeah, they from 1985 to 1955.
But you're talking about a kid who grew up all 17 years of his life.
By today's standards, we just drop back to the 80s, so we'd be at the start of their movie.
Exactly.
Back in the remake.
But like I said, you got a kid who spent all 17 years of his life with rock and roll, with television, with all this stuff, and he's going back to a time, going back into a time where none of that exists.
Yeah,
where
it's just country.
Impossible way to do it.
Versus like big ass cell phone, small cell phone.
Yeah, it's not a
Walkman.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So. I have to agree. The reason it's probably not been redone is for that reason. Mm-hmm. Or they would have to jump him back like 50 or 60 years to even make it work.
Unless they just go to the future.
At that point.
Unless they go to the future, then they go like way back in time.
And then you couldn't have a relevant screw up my parents thing, because you'd have to go several generations back, and it's just not the same.
So you'd be screwing up your great-great-grandparents. Holy shit, is that great-great-great-grandpappy?
Holy hell!
How did you even know that?
People you don't even know. He knows everything his parents have told him and raised him with, and then he finds that his dad's a dweeb, he's actually creative, his mom's a slut.
His dad is a dweeb.
His dad is a pervy friggin'
nerd.
Tom.
Yeah.
So,
ain't
much better. Oh, please.
No, they both are
looking at
birds. So not looking at birds. He's looking at some birds.
Okay, but before we have to finish, my thing is, what would you guys do if you either A, just had a time machine, or like, was sent back in time and didn't know how to get back or whatever? Would you like try to interfere? Would you try to like...
I would be screwed. That's what would happen. I would be screwed. Because there's no possible way that I could get back. Period. Dead Bill, gone from existence.
Why do you say that?
First off, my dad won't talk to me now. He's going to go back in time, and he's going to be like, yeah, I know all about that guy. And there's no way I could identify with my dad back in the 80s that I can't even identify him with him now, okay? That
would for me, I wouldn't want my dad to get back with my mom. I mean...
Well,
no.
You're done for existence.
Yeah, there's no way I
could
be like,
no more programs, gone, Redwood's gone.
Two people dead.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, Dad, you should have hooked up with that fat.
Actually, you know, the thing is, I wouldn't have to worry about it, because my mother actually left my dad right before they got married. My mom went back down to Tennessee, my dad went after her.
Yeah, but if you stop the two from ever meeting in the first place...
Actually, the funny story is, my parents met through my cousin, who was my dad's roommate.
So maybe you accidentally bump your cousin off the road and he gets hit by Toyota. But then that's the end of it right there.
Yeah, see, mine would be kind of interesting because my mom met my dad.
I would not be mean, but I'd still exist because I know my mom would have found somebody.
See, but my dad was...
You're a combination of the two people.
Yeah, so you want to...
I'm feeling any happier, because then I would not have...
No, if his mom hooked up with Biff, he would just be the same person.
Yeah, only different.
He'd be a douchebag.
The same person.
All right, so let's not talk about the whole...
All right, so that's three people, Dad. How about you, Black Wolf? Would you survive the time of being able to get your parents back together, or would you be screwed like the rest of us? Because Program Redboard and me are fucked.
I'm sure if I had a guy like Doc Brown on my side who's willing to push me in any one direction, I'd say maybe I'd be okay. But as far as I know, I'm screwed.
So
we're
all doomed.
We do have one thing going for us in this horrible event of going back to time to be erased from existence. IGN says we will survive the zombie assault.
That's
good. I've
seen
it.
But final thoughts on this, though. If you have a time machine, would you time travel? I say I would not even touch it. There's no way.
If it was a DeLorean, I'd drive it.
I would time travel.
See, I don't want to time travel, because like I said, then...
I would go 60 minutes in the future just to say I did.
Just to say...
Pulsing 88 miles an hour! Zoom! Zoom! Alright, 6 minutes later. Good, guys.
What if by some screwed up coincidence...
You hate yourself.
You were supposed to be there. Okay. And that 6 minutes, something amazing was going to happen to you.
Actually, before we end this, there's a question I actually have. How do you explain the DeLorean to your insurance company? Driving, boom, it appears. It's going 88 miles an hour, okay? It tears the front of your car off and keeps going.
Boom! Where's the front of the car?
And you just got it through town. Boosh, out of nowhere.
This guy just appeared in front of me, and the front engine block of my car went with him.
I'd be holding the steering wheel, wondering where my dash and my windshield went. Where my front tires and my engine are going, well, I'm not going to work today. I'd set the wheel down calmly because I'm in such shock. I'd get out of the vehicle and the cop would be like, what the hell happened here? I'd be like, well, I'm still trying to figure this out, officer, but if you follow the trail of fire, you might find the person who did this in my fucking car.
I think I know.
We're talking DeLorean from whatever. Boom! Right in front of you. Right then and there. Okay. Appears. Bam! No car. You have half a car left.
As it was originally intended, it's definitely for sure that this one episode is not enough to finish a full discussion on this series. So, looks like you can expect an episode 2.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomKnight.com. At FandomKnight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomKnight.com. So, check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.